Hello, and welcome to the History Podcast of the Pre-Columbian World, where you will learn about different ancient civilizations and cultures and empires on the American continent prior to the Spanish arrival. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Susie. Today we're going to shift our focus to the ancient Incan civilizations, which was southern than Mesoamerica. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes on the Mesoamerican civilizations, please check them out. And bear in mind the similarities and differences between them. Just as a powerful Aztec Empire in Mesoamerica, now we feature the amazing and mysterious Inca Empire.
Incas had the largest empire in America, and it was the one of the most largest empires in the world at its time. It was home to over 12 million people. The Incan Empire peaked between 1400 and 1533 CE, and their official language was Quechua.
The Incas lived in modern-day Peru. The Inca Empire stretched from north to south over 2,500 miles across the Andean range from northern Ecuador to southern Chile and to western Bolivia. Their sphere of power reached to the dry coastal Atacama Desert in the west and to the steamy Amazon rainforest in the east. Geographically speaking, natural barriers divided the Inca Empire into three geographic zones: the Andes Mountains, the Amazon Rainforest, and the Coastal Desert. The Andean Cordilleras are second in height and harshness to Himalaya with altitude up to 15,000 feet. The Inca Empire developed the vertical archipelago, an economic and social system that utilized the environment's resources to survive on extreme alpine slopes and in extreme weather conditions. It was a very challenging environment for humans to live in, but the Incas and the preceding culture were clever and invented different scientific methods, like terrace farming in steep mountains and irrigation system to water crops in the desert. The Incas used a similar terracing technology that the Mixtecs used, which we introduced in our last episode.
Who preceded the Incas? Where did they come from? And who were they?
The Tiwanaku Empire preceded the Inca Empire, which had over 75,000 people at its peak. The first Incas were a noble family ruling Cusco, the small surrounding high Andean agricultural state at around 1200 AD. In 1438, Emperor Pachacuti started to conquer the regions beyond Cusco and influence surrounding Andes cultures. The Inca was primarily referred to as the first royal family with 40,000 descendants. Later, the historians included the 100 nations conquered by the Incas.
The Incas also called themselves and their empire Tiwanatsuyu, or the land of the four quarters. Cusco was the center and the capital of the Incan Empire, and it had four highways leading outwards towards four different substates. Hunter-gatherers first settled Cusco 4,500 BCE, and it became the center of the Incas' life and the home of their leaders. Cusco was the wealthiest city in South America, with over 150,000 people at its height between 1400 and 1533 CE. Many of the residents of Cusco spoke Quechua as their official language.
What did the Incas believe about how they settled in Cusco? What was their creation story?
The Incas were polytheistic. However, they worshipped their sun god Inti the most. They believed that Inti created the first Inca, Manco Capac, from Lake Titicaca. Then Inti created his sister, Mama Ocla. The sun god ordered them to find Cusco, which meant the center of the world. Inti offered them a gold staff and told them that Cusco laid where the earth would swallow that gold staff, and that they would be the place for Manco Capac and Mama Ocllo to spread the power of the sun god. They had found Cusco on their journey, and Manco Capac became the leader of the surrounding tribes. He was the first ruler of the Incan Empire, and he had over 400 children, according to the story of creation.
What were the other primary deities of the Incas?
Another primary deity was Viracocha, or Huiracocha, the father of all Incan gods. He was an omnipresent being who created the earth, the sun, the moon, and all the heavens above. After he arrived at Lake Titicaca, after creating the world, Viracocha traveled to spread his teachings around the region, Later, he left and disappeared across the Pacific Ocean. During his journey, he took the form as an old man, and he was often depicted in Incan art. Incan religious rituals and ceremonies took place at altitudes as high as 22,057 feet. That's crazy. The highest known Incan sacrificial site to date is Lilulyacu. Chile is the highest Incan sacrificial site known to date. How is the Incan government structured?
The Incas were a theocratic monarchy, and their society was passive and submissive. Nobles' lineage were connected by blood tie to the royal dynasty. Religion played an essential role in Incan government because every king, or called the Sapa Inca, was considered a divine being descended from heaven who had authority over law. A council of elders called Panakis advised the king, and below the Panakis were the administrative councils made out of Inca blood nobles, or distant relatives of the kings.
The empire was divided into four major administrative states: Chinchasuyu, Antisuyu, Kuntisuyu, and Colosuyu. At the center of the four states was Cusco, the capital of the Incan Empire. Each state was linked to the capital by a main road, and each part of the four states was ruled by an Apo, the close relative of the Sapa Inca, who was a member of the Council of Elders who reported to the State Council in Cusco. Below the Apus were the local administrators who were governed the Alu, based on the Inca social organization, a clan or community bonded by religious belief. Landholdings under a leader, an Alu served to fulfill the work and tribute for the Sapa Inca and his government in Cusco. How many constituents did the Incan bureaucracy have in Cusco?
There were 40,000 Incas governed over 10 million subjects who spoke over 30 different languages. What was the Incan social structure?
The Incan Empire was organized into four states, which were all subdivided into Ayllus. The Ayllus were made up of small agrarian settlements raising different types of crops to distribute and exchange. The agrarian settlements were inhabited by farmers who made up the lowest tier of the social pyramid. On top of the farmers and the commoners were the artisans and traders. The upper Incan tiers of the social ladder were dominated by Quechua-speaking Incas, who held all the government and administrative positions in the Incan Empire.
On top of the social stratification, citizens of the ancient Inca Empire had very defined gender roles. Male members of the upper echelons of Inca society had multiple wives. One was their primary wife, but they had many others to serve as concubines. The first wife was married ceremonially, while the secondary wives were only adopted into the household. After the son married the secondary wife of his father, she stayed with them and performed duties of nanny or maid in his household. As boys matured, they adopted the trade of their father or learned how to farm and work with animals. Many trades were hereditary because nothing was written down.
Boys transitioned to manhood around age 14 when they entered puberty. Their mothers created special clothes for them. They also had to make a pilgrimage to Huanacuri Mountain Temple outside of Cusco, where they would get blessed by the gods and get sacrificed a llama. On the way home, they would be whipped by relatives to prove their courage. On the other hand, young girls and women were taught to do domestic chores like cooking and cleaning, and child rearing. Girls transitioned to womanhood when they had their first menstruation, and they were given a special ceremony where their mothers braided their hair and their uncles named them. The average Incan woman married between the ages of 16 and 20, while men married at age 25. During weddings, the groom traveled to the bride's family's home and gave her sandals to accept the marriage. The sandal was different depending on if the bride was a virgin. The bride then traveled back to the groom to visit his family to receive more gifts.
Apart from practicing their father's trade, young men were expected to serve in the military. One in every 15 men was chosen to fight for the empire. Inca rulers believed that their expansion of the empire would be an expansion of their faith and would honor the sun god Inti. Military conquest was an essential part of Sapa Inca's legacy, so many kings extended the empire through force and diplomacy. They would start integrating neighboring tribes through connecting personal relationships with the neighboring kings by exchanging presents. If that did not work out, the Incan army would use force. The new occupied population was required to use Quechua alongside of their own language. In the 14th century, Pachuti Inca Yupanqui united the region, and in 1471 CE, Thapa Inca Yupanqui expanded the empire by over 4,000 square miles after taking power.
The Incan army punished dissenters to the Incan political and religious leadership by forcing whole communities to march distance to minimize their ability to organize and force them to assimilate into Incan society. The conquered populations were forced to convert to the religious cult devoted to the sun god Inti and the veneration of Zapa Inca, the supreme religious and political authority. Also, they had to learn to use the Incan language, though they were allowed to preserve their local dialects and cultural traditions.
Apart from the diverse dialects, the Inca Empire's economy was more uniform. The Inca monetary system is a mita system, paying labor directly to the empire instead of taxation. In another word, money existed in form of labor. Whereas silver and gold were used only for aesthetic purposes, the Incans paid taxes by constructing roads, terraces, canals, temples, and fortresses. This is why Incas left us many magnificent architectural projects. In return, the rulers paid the people with food and clothing. Tribal goods went directly to the army's provisions and other branches of the imperial state, or were kept in storehouses to be released during a famine. What were their architectural achievements?
One of the most significant architectural projects of the Incas was their efficient network of roads linking the ruling class to the people. There were over 25,000 miles of road built within the Incan Empire. Their central systems of roads rivaled the roads constructed in Rome. Not only did they have sophisticated infrastructure, but also fast communication through chakis, or imperial messengers, who linked all the major cities and provinces together within the Incan Empire. The messengers were like runners. They could send messages across great distances, like from Machu Picchu all the way to Cusco, and all in one day. They also used manpower for transportation of goods due to their lack of the wheel or other European technology. The Incas also used llamas to carry light cargo.
Another very famous and mysterious archaeological site that you may know is Machu Picchu. The greatest artistic, architectural, and land use achievement, and the most significant tangible legacy of Inca civilization. It was built in the 15th century, but then abandoned when Spaniards conquered the Inca Empire in 16th century. Machu Picchu was not discovered by Spanish conquistadors. Not until 1911, it was rediscovered by the explorer Hiram Bingham. The site stands at 2,340 meters above the sea level, in the middle of a tropical alpine forest, which is extraordinarily beautiful. It is located at the eastern slope of the Andes Urubamba River in Peru, which is a meeting point between Peruvian Andes and Amazon Basin, with rich biodiversity in flora and fauna. Machu Picchu was the estate for Pachacuti, a place for worshipping sun god, which was the greatest deity in Inca religion. There were fountains, lodgings, shrines on side of Pinnacles peaks. The city's mountainous terrain was similar to Zapotec city of Monte Alban. Both cities serve as holy sites to their respective empire. But why did the citizens leave the city? Was it because of the Spanish Inquisition, famine, or disease? Machu Picchu still remains as one of the world's largest mysteries.
Unfortunately, the height of the Incan Empire did not last that long, because the Spanish arrived in the Caribbean around 1492. The Spanish brought smallpox and the plague, which killed the Zapa Inca Juana Capac in 1525, and also killed two-thirds of the population, a conquest without warfare. The death of Juana led to a problem of succession, whether Cuscar or Atahualpa should lead the empire, which sparked a civil war. Cuscar seceded in Cusco, but Atahualpa took control in Quito to strike a power balance. Then, Francisco Pizarro captured the Incan king Atahualpa in 1532 and held him for ransom. Pizarro executed the king, even though the Incans paid the ransom in gold and silver. The death of Atahualpa the Zapa Inca and the fall of Cusco in 1533 led to the collapse of the Incan Empire to the Spanish.
Overall, the Incas survived and thrived at very high altitude through extreme weather conditions. Their geographical location influenced their culture, which was different from the Aztecs who dwelt beside a lake and abundance of water resources. Both the Aztecs and the Incas had a tribal system and a theocracy centered around a sun god. Both the empires had strict controls of goods and resource distribution over its people, and both were ended by the Spanish Inquisition. However, the Incas, unlike the Aztecs, lacked a written alphabet, for they passed down their stories and traditions orally. Also, the Incan society lacked the social mobility of Aztec society, as well as a militaristic culture. Their sun god Inti did not demand the same volume of human sacrifice that the Aztec god Huitzilopochtli did.
And this is the end of the episode. I hope you've enjoyed learning about the wondrous Incas and their similarities and differences with other Mesoamerican cultures. You may find the sources we used for research in the link below. Please follow us on Instagram, History Podcast of the Pre-Columbian World, where we post pictures, fun facts, and updates about upcoming episodes.
And please reach out to our email, precolumbianhistory4@gmail.com, with your ideas for ancient history topics you would like to see discussed in future episodes, or ideas on how we may improve our future episodes of the podcast. Please subscribe to History of Pre-Columbian World and listen to our next episode to learn more about the ancient civilizations of America.
This is Susie and Johnny, the History Podcast of the Pre-Columbian World. See you next time.
Bye!